We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bledsoe throwing, corner of the end zone, touchdown! Celebrations in the Patriots executive box, celebrations around Drew Bledsoe on the field.
Hi, Christian, make sure you hit this thing.
You know, sometimes you just got, you can't interrupt it.
Glenn,
let it breathe. Every day, 4:30, you just want to talk all over it. Just enjoy it. It's like Jimi Hendrix for you. Wait, wait for it. Ooh, here it comes.
Now we're talking.
There you go.
I think I hit it. I think I nailed it.
No, he didn't nail any. You can't nail anything.
You haven't nailed anything for years.
Brady Week on WEEI to benefit the Greg Hill Foundation Restaurant Strong Fund is brought to you by Samuel Adams, celebrating Brady's 20 years in New England to support those in the service industry who have been financially burdened by COVID-19. Visit restaurantstrong.org. Quarterback before Tom Brady here in New England was a gentleman by the name of Drew Bledsoe. Had Bledsoe not been here, I hate to tell you, the franchise wouldn't have been here, because as big as Brady was over the last 20 years, it was Bledsoe that revived this franchise along with Bill Parcells and others, and the reason that we're all here in New England with a football team. And he joins us live right now on the Harbor One Hotline. Hey, Drew.
What's happening, guys?
How are you?
You guys surviving out there? I hope everybody's drinking lots of wine right now.
Oh, believe it. Oh, yeah. Every day at around 5:50.
I got the Double Back Winery Walla Walla Valley Cab 2016. Any good? What do you think?
Dude, I think it's one of the best wines in the world, you know. And, you know, I get to say that because I don't actually make it. I've got a rock star that does it. So it's kind of like when you're a quarterback and you get to stand up and take credit after a big win when all the other guys did all the real work.
Do you kind of walk around the vineyard and act like you know what you're looking at, touch the grapes and kind of squeeze them? This one's ready.
I do. I don't know if you guys caught that E60 that Jeremy Schapp did, but.
We
walked around in the vineyard, and they did a good job of making me actually look like I know what the heck I'm doing. But mostly I just have a rock star team that makes great juice for us, and I get to have a lot of fun representing and selling.
Take credit. Pretty good wine. Take credit. So I got to ask you this, because doing a show with you at the time when all of this was happening, and we were on every Monday doing what they do now with Brady, and now that you look back at what happened over the last year or two, there was certainly a disconnect here between Brady and Belichick where the two needed to get away from each other. You were watching it happen with your own career. You went down with an injury. Next thing you know, Brady's in there. You got an opportunity to get back in there. But there was a separation going on. Do you understand any of what Brady might be thinking right now?
Well, you know, I haven't talked to him, so I'm not going to put words in his mouth. But I'll tell you from my experience, a couple of things. You know, when you've been a part of one organization for a long time, first of all, it's a great honor. It was a great honor for me to be there for 9 years, and I know Tommy is honored to have been there for 20 years. But you know, one thing that happened when I moved to Buffalo, it's sort of like starting over as a rookie, you know. And you know, as great as the run was for Tom and for the Patriots while he was there. You know, there is at some point, at least for me, there's a desire to try something new and see if you can be successful someplace else. And I'm sure there's at least a component of that for Tom. You know, I don't get the sense that there's a lot of ill will on his part toward the Patriots or toward Bill. I do think, though, over the last couple of years, what we saw, and I know you guys witnessed this, have probably talked about it quite a bit. You know, Tom, you know, for a long time, you know, played on an undermarket contract so that they could put good pieces around him. And, you know, over the last year, I'm not sure he felt like, you know, that was really happening. Now, I know there were extenuating circumstances with Antonio Brown and some of that stuff, but where they tried to bring some guys in, but just didn't work out. And I think he felt like, you know, if he's going to take an undermarket contract, they got to put some really good pieces around him.
You know, Drew, you bring that up because last year while we were watching it, there was obviously a love for Tom Brady, and we saw things happening. You tell me, if you have a couple injuries on the offensive line, maybe the trust isn't there in the blind side or the offensive line or the trust in young weapons that you haven't worked a lot with to be in the right spots. Is that why we see a lot of throwaways, inaccuracies, frustrations? How much blame do you put on that and Tom Brady getting a little bit older, maybe not the same guy?
Well, you know, when you're playing quarterback, you know, that word trust that you just said is probably the most important one. You know, especially, you know, if you're a pocket passer like I was and like Tom is, you know, you're really trusting your protection. You're trusting that guys are going to be where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. You know, there's two components to accuracy. That's where you throw the ball, but it's also knowing where the guy's going to be. You know, and I talked about this a little bit with Aaron Rodgers when they were on him for some of his accuracy stuff. Well, you know, if you're throwing to a particular spot and trusting that a guy's going to be there, if he's not there, all of a sudden it looks like an inaccurate throw when you were just throwing to the spot where you expected him to be. So there is some component to that. And that's, you know, one thing for Tom, though, that I think the situation we're in right now, you know, breaking in some new guys in a new place and a new offense, even though he's, you know, got 20 years under his belt, you know, this is an important time when you're moving to a new spot. So it'll be interesting to see what they do coming out of this.
So we're talking to Drew Bledsoe. And Drew, so I think the interesting part, as you mentioned it at first, is like just, you know, it's like you're a rookie again. You go to a new team. Everything's new. Everything is happening for the first time. But it can, you know, talk about what you're experiencing, what your experience was like when you went to Buffalo or when you went to Dallas, trying to, I guess, just incorporate yourself into that personality of the team, or just try to integrate yourself with all the new personalities, because you're similar to Thomas Farr. Everybody likes you. You get along with everybody, you know, and I think that's important for a quarterback. But how difficult was it for you when you went into that locker room in Buffalo the first time? You went into that locker room in Dallas for the first time.
Well, it's all new people. It's all new faces. You know, I mean, there's, you know, Tom certainly seen, you know, all new faces at some point over his career, but that happens more gradually. Now you're going into a place where everybody's new. And so you're doing two things simultaneously. You're trying to integrate yourself into existing culture, but then you're also trying to grow that culture at the same time. And in order to do that, you know, you need to be around the guys. You need to be face to face with them. And, you know, I've said over the years, you know, Tom's, you know, greatness on the field pales in comparison to the greatness, you know, from, you know, Monday through Saturday that he showed for that franchise, and the leadership that he had and being the hardest working guy and, you know, all of those things that everybody knows so well. And for him to, you know, have the opportunity to bring that to a new franchise is really important, and I'm sure it's inspiring to him, but not being able to do that right now, I think, is probably bugging him.
Drew, we had Charlie Weiss on the other day, and we asked him, does he remember the specific time in which he figured out this Tom Brady kid, he's pretty good, he's pretty special? And he said it took a while. It did not happen instantly. And we remember he was the fourth-string quarterback, you were the starting quarterback, and Charlie said it took a while. When did you or did you ever realize that he was pretty good?
Well, you know, I think I've said, and people have talked about it over the time, and some people have taken this and used it as something derogatory toward Tom, which it never was. But when he was first in, I was like, man, this guy's going to be around for a long time. You know, he's such a good locker room guy. He's so hardworking. He's really smart. He was very curious. You know, but I just thought he was going to be around for a long time, just kind of as a backup. And then, you know, the real credit to Tom and what he ultimately did. It was through a lot of hard work, a lot of study, a lot of training, you know, a lot of those things that he really turned himself into such a great player. But it was not, he was not one of those guys that was just, you know, touched with a lightning bolt with talent. He really had to work at it you know, and that goes to the leadership that he showed for the franchise. There was no excuse for anybody, to not work at 100%, because the guy that was the leader was doing that.
Hey, so who's more difficult to, you know, to play for, Bill Belichick or Bill Parcells?
You know,
because you had them both, right? You had 2 years for both guys.
I was dumb enough. I want to play for Parcells again. But Parcells was, as a quarterback, especially as a young quarterback, he was a real pain in the ass to play for. Now, there was an element of it that there was a method to his madness, because I looked forward to Sundays because I didn't have to have him right over my shoulder while I was playing football. I got to be at least, 30 yards away from him while I was playing, which was great. So Parcells was a pain in the butt. Belichick, you guys know him. You're around him. You get to see him all the time. It's not a barrel of laughs. But you do know that you're always getting great information, and you always know that he's focused on exactly one thing, and that's winning football games. And so from that standpoint, it was pretty matter of fact. It made it pretty easy to play for him, honestly.
So if you have one guy to take out to dinner and, share a bottle of wine with, which guy is it?
Of those two?
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. Although I will tell you that after I retired and started into the wine gig, I went and did a wine deal down at one of the places down by the stadium. And Belichick came over. He had a couple glasses of wine, and he was really engaging. It was the first time I got to actually interact with him outside of a football setting. And you guys know this, man. It's a totally different deal. He smiled. He was laughing, and we actually had a pretty nice conversation and reminisced a little bit. So he was you get him out of that football setting, and it can be pretty fun. So I might have to go take Belichick out. See if I can get him to loosen up just a little bit.
Yeah, so speaking of that, I forget what documentary it was, but I got a good laugh. I think in one of them, your mother kind of was very upset with Bill over the whole thing. I was laughing at that quote. I know they had her in an interview. And I'm just curious, because you were there just for a few years. You weren't part of kind of what happened, after, that 2001 season. How long did it take? Is that the first time you really sat down? How long did it take for you to kind of maybe talk to him or not be pissed at him? Or what was that like for you?
Oh, certainly after I was done playing, and I came back, like I said, for a wine deal. And then when I came out for my Patriots Hall of Fame induction, I got to talk with him a little bit. Honestly, it was funny. We had a good laugh about Mom when they interviewed her. I didn't know that quote was going to be in there. I was like, Mom, you can't be on TV talking about how you wanted to murder somebody with a car. Hey, you guys know this. It's a different. They're moms, right?
Yep.
They're moms, and that that mama lion comes out if you get after the cubs. I think I was able to put all of it behind me faster than the rest of the family was, which, anybody that has family or has kids or brothers or they understand that. But when I came back for that Hall of Fame induction and got that ovation I got at halftime and then showed all that appreciation, I think that was good closure for our family to be embraced like that. And it was important, for my folks, for my brother, for all my friends that have been, through that whole thing. And it was pretty fun for my kids, too. I think that was when it really gave it some closure.
Excuse me, we're talking to Drew Bledsoe, all part of this Brady Week that we're doing this week and trying to help out some of the restaurant service employees, many of them who serve wine and double back wine, obviously. I'm intrigued by the when you were talking about going to Buffalo and how that was like a rookie experience. So let's look at this offseason and look at Tom Brady in Tampa and maybe Jarrett Stidham, who really didn't get game reps last year, played a little bit in the preseason, maybe the starter for the New England Patriots, and yet this offseason is going to be maybe totally different. No OTAs, we don't know for what, offseason camps. Who knows if we have camps in July. How difficult will it be, or will it, for either one of those guys?
Well, I think probably more difficult. If I had to say it's going to be more difficult for one of the others, it's going to be more difficult for Stidham, just because, when you're the backup, outside of training camp, you just don't get the reps. And that's really what it's about, playing quarterback. It's about repetition so that you know what's going to happen before it happens. Tom has more experience than anybody that's ever played the position of quarterback. And so he's going to be able to do that fairly quickly. I think for Stidham, though, missing those reps, I think, is really important. And then it's going to make it more difficult for him. But I know they think highly of him and they'll give him a lot of help. But those are certainly very, very important practices that he's having to miss.
Hey, Drew, when you see like some of these, like the pocket passer seems to be like the 100-foot shark. Like it just doesn't exist anymore. And you see all these guys that are running. If you were coming out in the league, if you were coming out of college, out of Washington State, like how difficult do you think it would be for you to kind of implement yourself into the systems that they're running now? Or would they have to completely scrap it and do almost like a reverse Lamar Jackson, you know, go back to, you know, creating an offense just tailor-made for you?
Well, I would have had to use my elusiveness more.
That's true. You are very elusive. Very nimble.
Very nimble, twitchy, you know, a lot of RPO.
You'd be a tight end, Drew.
No, man, tight ends have to hit people. I'm not dumb like Poirier. I don't want to go run into people. But
he didn't hit anyone.
Yeah, right. But it is interesting because, you know, really for decades now they've been calling for the death of the pocket passer, and it really never came to pass. But now, now you're seeing, and I think part of what you're seeing is integration of some of the college concepts with some of these guys. Where before, you know, you look at what Michael Vick did as an example. He did all of his running just improvisationally. They did not design that many runs for him. And where now they're integrating some of these college RPO concepts and actually designing things for quarterbacks to run. And the big change to me that's allowing them to do that are the way that they're enforcing the rules now, where you can't hit them as hard. That was the big problem, you know, back in the good old days. If you were going to be a quarterback that was going to run a lot, you had to accept the fact you were going to get hit a lot. And it was going to affect your ability to stay healthy. And that's part of what's allowing that to happen. Obviously you look at a guy like Lamar Jackson. I mean, that's a pretty unique athlete playing the quarterback position. We didn't see a lot of those guys other than maybe Michael Vick that had that kind of explosiveness and still played the position of quarterback.
Have we gone totally to the opposite end when we look at a Lamar Jackson? Will Lamar Jackson not have to eventually figure out that he's going to have to work in the pocket? You look at defenses now and you're seeing safeties basically playing linebackers, Drew. They're much quicker, faster. Is he going to have to develop a little bit more pocket presence?
Well, you know, if you listen to Steve Young, right, obviously one of the all-time great quarterbacks, he said that he really didn't ascend to the top level where he was, you know, at least I think a couple time MVP and Super Bowl champion until he learned to work from the pocket as well. I think if you become, one dimensional, and you're just a running guy, defenses are going to figure that out. And the athletes on defense in the NFL are such amazing athletes that they're going to find a way to shut that down. But if you are truly a dual threat where you can function from the pocket, you can distribute the football and then add that elusive quality, now you become a real, real problem for defenses. You're going to have to be able to function from the pocket and distribute the ball to the other athletes and force a defense to cover the whole field and not just focus on you. And if you can do that, man, you present a real, real problem.
So you could have been a coach. Instead, you're ordering people around on harvest day, you know, that's what you're doing.
Yeah, I would like to know if you've seen an uptick in the sales of your wine.
Have to.
Based on the fact that everybody, right?
We're all drinking every day.
We would like you to send some to us so we can indulge as well. Or let us know where to get it.
I would be more than happy to send you guys some wine. All you have to do, you go to this website, doubleback.com, you enter your Visa number.
Yes.
Wait.
And then that wine will magically show up. It's amazing.
Can we buy it here at, out in Mass?
You can now.
Yeah, you can.
Good.
Yeah,
where?
You can. Yeah, you remember
because he pushed for it.
I got to be a lobbyist, man. I was in politics there for a little bit. That was my only foray into politics, hopefully ever. We've had to change the way we do things. We can't do events and can't do dinners and all of that. But we're reaching out to people and making sure people are taken care of. And we're doing some charitable stuff with the wine. We're supporting, like you guys are doing with this. We're supporting restaurant workers that are out of work and trying to make sure people are getting fed and taken care of. On a kind of a macro level, going through something like this, it's obviously awful, but there also are some silver linings in that. And one of the things that we're seeing across the board is the goodness in people and people's willingness to help other people out and people's willingness to to serve and to give when they can for people that have been adversely affected by this. And there's a lot of it that's pretty inspiring. So, you know, hats off to you guys for what you're doing and to everybody that's out there. You know, I would say two things. One, continue to help out where you can. And then the other thing that I've found is really important that, you know, even just in my close friend group, is to make sure you're getting on the phone and talking with people and maintaining at least some sort of connection. You know, we're human beings. We need that connection. A lot of people are struggling, not just, you know, financially, but just emotionally, you know. And we found that it's really, really important. You know, we jump on FaceTime or Zoom and get face-to-face with people and just check in. So we're maintaining that human connection as we go through this thing.
Good advice, Drew. And thanks again for checking in. It's great talking to you once again. Doubleback.com. You can buy the wine right there. He also has got a podcast, Bledsoe's Basement Tapes. That's what we're all doing. We're all working out of our basement right now.
Yeah, right. We didn't know when we came up with that name, which is just sort of a stupid, we didn't know that we were actually going to be stuck in the basement for months on end when we did that. But yeah, check out the podcast. It's not your normal kind of sports deal. It's me and my brother and one of our buddies who's really, really funny, way funnier than we are. And then we've got, just a couple of local buddies that jump on there and kind of have some good laughs. We talk a little bit of sports, but it's more just us telling stories and having a good time.
Terrific. Drew Bledsoe right here on the Harbor One Hotline. Great talking to you, Drew.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys, and hope to see you guys in the coming months when we can get out and travel again.
You got it. Sounds great. Drew Bledsoe, right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.